sing all of my days. I wanna praise. Everybody needs your love.
Well, good morning, and we're so pleased that you're able to join with us this morning. Over the recent weeks, lockdown has been eased, things have been changing. But you know, the thing that really strikes me is that we still have this opportunity to connect online when we're not able to gather as a church at this moment. And John, over recent weeks, has been explaining just some of the process that we're going through. And so we're really, really delighted today that we're able to do this. We're so glad that you're here. Now, if you're seeing the chat feature, we'd love for you to post some comments, some prayers, just engage with some questions. A little bit later on, John's going to be sharing from the scriptures. And so if there's anything that John says out of that, we'd just love you to drop a comment, because afterwards there'll be some opportunity for us just to engage in some conversation and maybe unpack some of those things a little bit more and maybe answer some of the questions that have been posed, or just some general encouragements about what God is doing in us and through us as a community. So we're really, really excited to be together this morning. And then just finally, if there is any prayer requests, please use that feature. There'll be some people who'll be able to pray with you. And if you do feel like you're able to give this morning, then please use the give button to contribute into the life and the work of the church, our church community, as we seek to serve the people of Stratford and beyond. And so I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to hand straight over to Ben and Vicky, who are going to lead us in some worship this morning. So, Father, we thank you for your unfailing goodness. We thank you for your unchanging character. Lord, we thank you for your steadfastness. And even in times where we maybe feel uncertain or unsure, or maybe there's great certainty for us, Lord, whatever the extremes, we understand that even in the midst of those things, you are good, and your purposes are sure. And so, Lord, as we sing, as we listen to your word, as we engage together today, may we have a real sense of your presence in our homes and in our hearts and in our minds, bringing stillness and peace in the midst of what is a very changing circumstances in our world. So, Lord, we give this time to you, and our hearts to you, and our ears to you. Lord, speak, for your people are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, Ben and Vicky.
He's coming on the clouds. Kings and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break. His broken hearts declare his praise. Thank you. every knee will bow before him. Bow before you, Lord. You're the reason why we're here. You're the reason why we all got up this morning and got the kids ready and got breakfast and sat down here in front of church, Lord. It's all for you. No matter what we're doing on the other side of that screen, Father, whether it's eating a bacon sandwich or maybe we're just all ready and raring to go for church, you take us as you find us, you meet us where we are. Father, we just want to spend time with you, here in your presence, here with our brothers and sisters. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. You're worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no show.
Those of you who know me know that I'm no builder, but what I do know is that when you need to build something, you need to clear out some rubble and you need to dig some foundations. And the song that we just sang prior to the Holy Spirit, you're welcome here, talked about I've built my life on you, Lord. And so at this moment, I just wonder whether there's some of you, maybe one or two of you are listening and you're feeling like actually there's some pain and there's some discomfort. Because the Holy Spirit is beginning to identify some of the rubble in your life that's stopped you building on the things that are found in Him and sure foundations. And so I just want to encourage you, don't stop when the pain and the discomfort comes, because actually the pain and discomfort is part of the process of God bringing you into a new place in Him. And so you have to embrace the pain of the clearing of the rubble in order for the good to come. And so I don't know whether this is just for one person or whether it's a few, that actually as God's people, He's called us to be a house, a people who are built on firm foundations. And His name is Jesus. He is the foundation of our faith. And so this morning, maybe there's some stuff that the Holy Spirit is beginning to identify in your life that He just wants to remove in order that His presence might come. And so I wonder if we could just carry on singing into this song, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. This song is not about a place. It's not about a building. It's not about a temple. It's not about anywhere else other than the invitation that you offer to the Holy Spirit to come and make His dwelling in you. And in order to do that, He will clear out some of the stuff that has often got in the way. And so this morning, as Ben and Vicky lead us in this song, if you've got a moment to sit quietly and just reflect on the words of this song, and maybe hold your hands out in the quietness and the stillness of your own home, and so the Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Maybe He'll take us on a journey, and you on a journey that you never expected, for His glory and for your benefit. Thanks, Ben and Vicky.
Tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord, Holy Spirit, you to be overcome by in the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. In the crushing, in the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. So I yield to you into your careful hand. When I trust you, I don't need to understand. Make me your vessel, make me an offering, make me whatever you want me to be. God, I came here with nothing, but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. In the crushing, in the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. So I yield to you. So I yield to you into your careful hand. When I trust you, I don't need to understand. So I yield to you into your careful hand. So I trust you, I don't need to understand. Make me an offering, make me whatever you want me to be. God, I came here with nothing, but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me.
Chosen, not forsaken, I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me, I am who you say I am. You am chosen, not forsaken, I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me, I am.
Jesus, we thank you that you are the master builder. You're the one who's able to take the rubble of our lives and reconstruct and reshape and remold and reform and renew. And so, Lord, I pray for those this morning who feel like there's just some rubble to clear out of the way, that they would embrace your work, your craftsmanship, knowing that in these moments the pain isn't a signal of punishment, but a signal of removal of things and obstacles that will hinder them becoming all that you've called and commissioned them to be. And so, Lord, I pray for your grace and your mercy and your compassion and your power and your justice to prevail and to woo and to draw. Holy Spirit, I pray you'd mend and heal. For the glory of your name, I ask these things. Amen. Amen. So this moment, I'd just like to hand over to John, who's going to lead us into the next part of our service.
Thanks, Ian. Appreciate it. Just while we were praying, I had this thought of, you know, when you're growing up, you always kind of want to be in that next stage of life, don't you? You always, like, when you're a kid, you just can't wait until you've grown up a bit more. I remember being like 8 and 9, you know, I can't wait to be double figures, can't wait to be 10. And then when you're 10, you're like, when I'm a teenager, life's going to be great. And when you're a teenager, you think, when I learn to drive, that's when everything's going to be perfect. And when you learn to drive, you think, just when I get, like, whatever, that job or that family, that spouse, whatever, we always want that next season of life. But when that next season of life comes, it's like, I'm a parent now, and I look back and I think, man, it was easy when you're a kid, isn't it? Oh, I look forward to just being able to have that kind of life again, of just like carefree, no bills to pay. But it's about growing up, and it's about what God is forming in us as we mature in him. And so I just think what Ian shared this morning about the work the master builder is doing in us, yeah, it can be painful. But it's about maturing in him, and it's about him setting us free from some stuff in order to be all he's called us to be. And so I just want to speak into some of that this morning. It fits into what I want to share and around this series that we're unpacking that we call Bless. Last week we started this series, and it's coming out of midweek groups having been gathering around spiritual practices and seeking to do what we can, tangible things that followers of Jesus throughout hundreds of years have done in getting close to Jesus. With that as a foundation, Alistair spoke a few weeks ago about us looking at what we are devoted to and what we have to give. And I hadn't spoken to Alistair, but that was pretty much word for word the thing that I'd felt God was speaking to us as a church about. I want you to explore how you get devoted to me. And then out of that, as that is your foundation, explore what you've got to give. And it's shifting some stuff around. It really is looking at the foundation of who we are as individuals before Jesus, but who we are corporately as the church, the global church, but also individually as local expressions of that church. And we just sense God is saying something over us as Oasis Community Church in Stratford-on-Avon, what that means for us. And last week we started to explore what it is that God has called us to be and our identity in him and the calling we have as part of his royal family, and with him as the head, calling us to be his visible representation to the world around us, partnering with him to see his kingdom come in Stratford-on-Avon and beyond. And we're unpacking this series with a phrase that I think is so important for us as a church, but being a family on mission in the everyday stuff of life. So this isn't about adding loads of church activities into your already busy lives, but this is exploring the foundation of our life and the rhythms and things that we already do, and how we put God at the very center of that, and how we explore living for him in every area of our life, being disciples in everything and every place and every stuff of life. So we've been exploring this series called Bless, and there's going to be a little slide that comes up that just explains visually what we're trying to do with the word bless. That as we take the letters of each of that, we're for these next 3 weeks, last week, this week and next week, and possibly for the summer, we might just explore that B, bless, being a blessing up towards God, being a blessing into each other, and be a B, blessing out to the world. And then we're going to do the same with the L word, the E, the S and the S, and take that and create a rhythm for our lives where we kind of know what we're aiming at. Where we can say, God, this is who you're calling us to be. And it's not around gatherings, not that we're against those. We love being together. I can't wait until we can gather together and celebrate together. But this is about more than just gatherings. This is about how we do life together as God's family, OCC. And some verses that have really been impacting me during this season around us looking at who we are as God's family is Acts 2. And I read these words last week and I want to read them again now because I think they're significant for us as a church family moving forward. And let me just read Acts 2, verse 42 to you. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, into the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I want to preach this morning from the title, Beyond the Uncomfortable. Beyond the Uncomfortable. See, when Cara and I first got married, we moved in together and we got about setting up our family home, the two of us, looking at how we were going to decorate the place. You know, we get to decorate every room how we want to and have the feel of what we want our home to feel like and get all the furniture. And we went off to some of the furniture stores and we chose the perfect sofa set that we wanted to put in our home. And like normal, you have to wait a few weeks, don't you, in order for it to all be made and delivered and all that kind of stuff. And we sat on some borrowed conservatory furniture for a little while in our house until it was delivered. And then a few weeks later, the new sofas arrived and they were perfect. Well, kind of. One was a little bit too big and we had to get it sent back and get another one. But, you know, that's just the way it is with furniture, isn't it? When you mismeasure in your house. But they were perfect. When we got them both in there, they were there. And for the first few weeks, they felt like the most comfortable big arm kind of chairs that we wanted. But then after a few weeks, the cushions started to sag a little bit. And they were like lumpy and they started to feel really like old, and you sat in and just kind of like sunk into this chair. And so we rang the shop and explained the situation, and they sent out a guy. I always love it when they send out a guy. They sent out someone to inspect the sofas because they think that we didn't know what we were talking about. So they send someone out to check it. And he was very, very good and said, yeah, absolutely. These cushions are sagging in the middle. But were you told when you bought this sofa that these cushions are deemed high maintenance? I'm like, who knew that cushions for sofas could be high maintenance? But it's true. And he got them and said, this is what you need to do every day. You should have been told this when you bought the sofas. You need to get the cushion and literally beat it back into shape. And I mean, he pummeled this cushion and it fluffed it right back up. And he put it down and said, there, have a sit on that. And it felt like new again. And he said, you need to do this every single day. And he was right. The wear and tear of the everyday knocked them out of shape. And it took some time to get them back as they should have been. We had to go beyond the uncomfortable in order for them to be all they were made to be. I don't know about you, but I think of community a lot like that. I mean, we've just read from Acts 2, this amazing portrayal of God's people, the community that we read in Scripture. And it can be really easy to think there's a perfect church community right there. No issues, no problems, unity, love, generosity, perfection. And if we're not careful, we set that as the everyday reality for genuine community. But I want to encourage you and say, after Acts 2 comes Acts 5. And if you flick in your Bibles just a couple of pages to the right in Acts chapter 5, we see the story of a young couple. Well, I don't know if they were young, but a couple, Ananias and Sapphira. This couple who were part of that early church, part of this generosity of spirit. They sold their property. I mean, just being part of a community like that, that is willing to sell big stuff in order to give to those in need. What an amazing couple. But just read from Acts 5, verse 1. It says, "Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property." Wow, what an amazing couple. "With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but bought the rest and put it to the apostles' feet." Perfect community filled with generosity and loving each other. Really? Well, what we find out is that Peter called him to account on this, and you can read it on, I think it comes up on the screen, you can read that for yourself. And Peter exposes Ananias for this selfishness with his property. And what happens is Ananias falls down dead. And some of the people from the church community have to come in, wrap him up and take him away. And then a few verses later, the same exact thing happens to his wife. And then there are those amongst us right now in our church that go, "Oh, if only we could be like the early church. It'd be perfect then, wouldn't it? If we could just be like the early church." Really? I mean, can you imagine a gathering where we say, right, just there's a link on the chat right now. Just click that if you want to give. And, oh, somebody's just given. Well, let me just expose a bit of truth. And we're going to have to send some people around from the church just to deal with a bit of an issue that's going on in someone's home. Might need to ring an ambulance. I mean, is that the kind of church? I mean, can you imagine that happening in our community? Amazing. Church community were community, but they weren't perfect. I mean, look at the disciples. Jesus calls these 12 guys to follow him. Now, we know of one of the 12 go their own way and betrays Jesus. But just look at the other 11. Just look at Matthew 4, verse 18, where we see Jesus calling Simon, who becomes known as the Peter, and Andrew, young business owners. In chapter 4, verse 18, it says, "And he," that's Jesus, "was walking along the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon, who is called the Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen." So we've got these young Jewish business owners. Amazing. I think it's the same with James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Look in Mark 1, 19. "Jesus went on a little farther. He saw James and his brother John, who were the sons of Zebedee. They were in a boat mending their nets. Jesus called them and they left their father Zebedee. He was in the boat with the men and they were working for him." So we've got four guys here, all fishermen, probably all similar education. The fact they went into the family business, similar lifestyle, similar upbringing. Except if you move on in Mark's gospel, you'll see that Jesus had a little nickname for James and John. In Mark 3:17, he calls them the sons of thunder. And most scholars agree that this is likely because of a little fiery temper they had, maybe between each other or in the wider group. I bet they were fun to have around. Little fiery tempered brothers. And then there's Matthew. We see in the Gospel of Matthew 9, verse 9, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting in a tax office. He said to him, "Follow me." Now we've got a tax collector, someone who works for the tax office, being added into this group. Those that were the tax office, those that worked in the tax office, they worked for the Romans. They worked for the enemy. They would overtax their own people in order to keep some money for themselves and pay what was owed to the Romans. You got them sat alongside these good Jewish boys. And then there's Simon the Zealot. I mean, his name alone should make you think, what's he about? So we've got these good Jewish boys. We've got one working for the enemy, charging more money from these good Jewish boys. And then we've got an out and out enemy of the Romans. See, Simon was called a zealot because this group of people were actively against the Romans. And there were stories that you can read of historians at the time of Jesus talking about these zealots and how they would be part of the crowd and then come out of the crowd and kill one of the Roman guards and disappear back into the crowd. The Romans saw these as terrorists. Can you imagine being sat around a campfire with these guys? Good Jewish boys alongside those working for Rome, alongside those that hate the Romans, all sat together. Was it perfect? Was it free from disagreement and friction? I don't think so. In fact, I know not, because look at Matthew 20. We see James and John, remember the sons of thunder, they're clearly looking to make a position for themselves. And they even get their mum in on it. I mean, you know it's going to be a bad day when you're like, "Mom, can you come and fight our corner for us?" And so mum turns up and starts saying to Jesus, "Jesus, can you let one of my sons sit on your right and one sit on the left?" And verse 24 of Matthew 10, we see that the disciples were indignant at them. That's Bible language for absolutely raging. Have you ever felt like that in church community? Some individual does or says something that rubs you up the wrong way. We see it in the community of God in the pages of Scripture. Were they perfect? No. And I'm not speaking this message because there's issues in our church. Often when people hear messages like that, like, oh, pastor's preaching. I'm not at all. I'm just preaching some of the big foundational stuff that I think God is calling us to look at as we start to move forward. And I think that actually where there's friction, where there's issues, where there's things going on in a community, that is because we're beginning to know each other authentically as a community. And actually, the gap between Acts 2 and Acts 5, that gap is where the growth is. And the gap between being called as a disciple and the reality of living as a disciple, that gap is where the growth is. And it's when we commit to stick with each other through thick and thin, just like Jesus did, just like 11 of his disciples did. That's where we see the growth. I don't believe growth is found in the perfection of community. Growth is found in the progress of community as we commit to each other and each other's growth. This week, we're looking at blessing in. Last week, we looked at blessing up, what it looks like to bless God. This week, it's blessing in. What does it look like for us to be a blessing to each other in this community? Those that call themselves part of the family of God in Oasis Community Church, those that have committed to be with each other during this season of lockdown. What does it look like for us to commit and bless each other and have that as one of the foundations of who we are? Day in, day out commitment to those around us for the benefit of their growth. There's a writer that I was reading called David Brooks. He doesn't confess himself as a follower of Jesus. He's certainly on a journey and he's closer there than he ever has been. He admits himself. But he writes about community. And a lot of what he writes about, he says he sees in the church something that is different to society. And he writes this about community. He says, a healthy community is a thick system of relationships. It is irregular, dynamic, organic and personal. Neighbours show up to help out when your workload is too heavy and you show up when theirs is. In a rich community, people are up in one another's business, know each other's secrets, walk with each other in times of grief and celebrate together in times of joy. In rich communities, people help each other raise each other's kids. In these kind of communities, listen to this bit, which were typically in all human history until the last 60 years or so, people extended to neighbours the sort of devotion that today we extend only to family. In these kind of communities, the social pressures can be slightly overbearing, the intrusiveness sometimes hard to bear, but the discomfort is worth it because the care and benefits are so great. I think this is the kind of community that Jesus was a part of. When he washes the disciples' feet in John 13, when he gets down in the dirt of the disciples' lives and starts serving them. And then when explaining what's going on when he does that in John 13, 35, he goes on and says, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, that you are my apprentices, that you follow me if you love one another, if you agape one another. It's what this community is called to do, to agape love one another. Agape love is unconcerned with self. It's concerned with the greater good of another. It is not about an individual. It is about the whole. This is what Jesus did in laying down his life for his friends. Agape isn't born out of emotions or feelings or familiarity or attraction, but it is from a choice and a will to say, that is what I will do and commit to. I will choose to commit to this group of people in this place and serve, even when I feel like I don't want to. Agape requires faithful commitment and sacrifice without expecting anything in return. Is it hard? Absolutely. Does it feel like the master builder starts shifting things around and it's uncomfortable? Absolutely. But the discomfort is worth it because the care and benefits are so great. And it flies in the face of modern communities that are all about the individual. I will join this group of people if I'm going to get out what I want out of this, what I need. Am I being heard? Do they agree with my position on that issue? It's no longer about the group as a whole, but it's about my issues being heard. I think this is what we've seen during lockdown, that we gather together around an issue and communities come together. But what happens when that issue is no longer there or it becomes the norm? Has real healing come to our communities? Do you know what? I don't think outside of Jesus, any community can experience healing. But we gather together around Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today and forever, who doesn't come, who doesn't go, and has called his people to be like him. And so as we have Jesus at the centre, it's like we're all gathered around him. And as we all draw closer to Jesus, we naturally start drawing closer to each other, because we are being devoted to him and becoming like him and giving out of that. And this is not the responsibility of one for everyone, but for everyone for each other. I love when Paul writes in Galatians, remember these letters that he's writing to, he's writing to churches, communities of people. And he says in Galatians 6 verse 2, carry each other's burdens in the same way you will fulfill the law of Christ. What is that law of Christ? Most Bible scholars, Bible teachers understand the law of Christ being what Jesus said in Mark 12. Verse 28 to 31, this scribe comes up to him and starts saying, what do you say is the most important? And he says, this is the most important commandment. Of all of those listed through scripture, this sums it up. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. We're going to unpack that a little bit next week. But that law of Christ, what are the burdens that Paul speaks of? It's not about expecting everybody else to make your life easier. Galatians 6 goes on in verse 5 and it says, don't forget to shoulder your own burdens. Each one of us should bear our own burdens. See, it appears there's some stuff that we should be responsible for. I can't walk this journey of following Jesus for you. Our connect groups cannot do the hard work of obedience, but we can come alongside each other when the workload is too much. We can come alongside each other in raising our kids in the things of Christ. When we struggle to shoulder the weight of a trial or a temptation as we're seeking to be obedient, that is when we can come and shoulder each other's burdens. But for this to happen, we have to live beyond the surface connection. We have to live beyond the uncomfortable and actually be a church community. That means knowing and being known. That means all, do you know what? I believe we could be a church where every need is met, every known need is met. But it means we have to be vulnerable enough to say, I need help. But we also have to be willing to step in and say, I can help. And it is messy and there is confusion. There is learning to love and there are growing pains and there are bits of rubble being taken out and other wars and construction taking place. Doesn't mean everything needs to be perfect. I think Paul in Colossians 3, he's writing to the church community again, a letter to a church community. And he's saying, this is what it looks like. This is who we are called to be. This is what we should look like. And then he goes on to say, but I want to put a little caveat in. Bear with each other. Forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against another one, forgive as the Lord forgave you. See, relationships are messy, but they are necessary. Psychologists say that some of the biggest hurts we experience in life come from relationships. The phrase, hurt people hurt people, I'm sure you've heard that. And so we can justify our absence from community in fear of being hurt again. But the problem is, those same psychologists would argue that actually the hurt we experience from community can only ever be healed in community. Those relationships that have hurt us can also heal us. One Christian psychologist says, we hurt in relationships and we are healed in relationships. And so we can end up running away from the very thing that can bring healing, which is a relationship with God the Father through what Jesus has done in and through what Jesus has done for us. And in and through that, being with his people, the church. That is where we can find healing. A community gathering around the love of God, experiencing that, sharing that, displaying that, going beyond the uncomfortable, getting it wrong, forgiving, bearing one another, being exposed and yet being accepted. It means we are communities that are committed to the way Jesus did life. And because of that, we're committed to each other. And that commitment and love reveals Jesus to the world around us. It's what he says in John 13. It's by our love for one another, the world will see. So through thick and thin, we see the communities of scripture moving towards each other. It's like a shatterproof ruler refusing to break into a million pieces, but staying true and seeking to be in line with who Jesus has called them to be. They were communities just like my sofa. Started out looking pretty good, but over time they get worn in, gets knocked out of shape a little bit. Takes the effort of everyone to keep it serving its purpose. But you know, we've still got that sofa today. There's a few more stains with the addition of family. Doesn't look like we thought it might, but it's still there and it's still serving its purpose and it's still going strong and we're not getting rid of it anytime soon. You know, I've spoken too much. I want to invite someone from our church to actually share testimony around who we are as community, around the community that you're a part of, that you're helping to shape and form. I want to introduce you to Jessica. Some of you may know Jessica, some of you don't. She's part of one of our Connect groups. And I just wanted to ask her to share her story this morning around community, because I want to encourage you in who you are and who we are for each other in this season as we seek to bless each other. Let's hear from Jessica.
So the Connect groups have really been a blessing to me. I've gotten to experience the Connect groups from the perspective of a total outsider. My parents, family, friends, anybody who represents a support system in my life is very far away. They're all back in the States. So I've come into this really seeking a church family, really seeking a place to set down roots, but more importantly, a place to do that that is really modeling a biblical example of what community looks like. And I've gotten to experience that through the Connect groups, because it involves building relationships on a more personal level, as we hear on Sundays, doing life together. And that really makes the teaching come to life then. That makes what we study in the Word, how we pray together, everything else becomes much more meaningful when we are building on those relationships. And so it's been a real blessing in my life to have that, especially during COVID. It's just been a lifeline, because we're in isolation. And so having that weekly meeting with a group of believers to fellowship with, to pray with, just to find encouragement in just seeing other faces and as we hear, doing life together, it's just it's been huge. So I'm so thankful, and I really I praise God that He allowed me to discover Oasis, and here we are. So.
It's that's really really good this morning, John. Thanks for just leading us into that sense of community and the challenges of community, because it's actually easier to just do life on our own, isn't it? In our own little bubbles. I guess it would just be really helpful in the next, just over the next couple of minutes, just to unpack some of the practical ways that we can do this and begin to step forward into it and increasing intentionality.
I think for me that word is key, is intentional. At the beginning of this year, I often find that God gives me like one single word for me personally in a year, and it takes me a good few months to figure out what it means. And He spoke to me this beginning of this year and said the word intentional. And I think we can drift through life, or we can be intentional, and just seeking to be intentional as God's family about how we bless God. So not forgetting last week, what does it look like to intentionally live our lives, not seeking for God just to continually pour His blessing out on us, but for us to deliberately bless Him and put some non-negotiables in our life of just saying, God, this is what it means to bless You. And when I feel like I don't want to do it, because our feelings pull us from to and fro. But I was just reading during the worship this morning, I was reading Hebrews 6, which talks about an anchor for our soul. The idea of being anchored in something, not moving, no matter what the storm is. Someone just shared a picture, didn't they, of this storm going on outside the car. No matter what the storm is going on outside the car, I am anchored to something that's keeping me true. And I think the spiritual practice is a part of that. But for us, just yesterday, I had this idea of sit down with my kids and involve them in this. Guys, what does it look like? Who are we going to bless today? And for our kids at the moment with lockdown and everything, that starts with, are you going to bless each other? How are you going to be kind to each other today? But, you know, as we move forward, I want to start asking them intentionally each day or at nighttime when I put them to bed, who can we bless tomorrow? Mm. Who from church can we bless? In loads of different ways, but it's living with intentionality. And I think God sees that and steps in on that and does some powerful things.
Yeah, it's awesome. That's really good. So I think in terms of the, obviously Jessica mentioned there, the place of Connect groups, because, you know, OCC's part of this bigger thing, but connect groups are really crucial to this. I don't know whether you just get next minute or so just to, well, you're the pastor, you could do what you like. but just in the next couple of minutes, just what is that, what's the thought going forward then in terms of connect groups for us? Because I know they're crucial, aren't they, to this idea of community and life together.
Yeah, and we're not the first church in history where the government has told us we're not allowed to meet. And even when we are being told we're allowed to meet, the restrictions that are put in place for us to gather in any significant number. And also just the fear, the reality of, you know, I'm not sure I want to at the moment. We get all of that. And so for us, connect groups are so important as we move forward. And we're trying to navigate some language around that. We're trying some stuff. I can't say I see the end. I've got a picture in my head of communities of people reaching the community and being together with each other and doing life and supporting each other and being something of a community of love and God and Jesus reaching out into. I've got this thing in my head, and I think it's going to be a lot easier for smaller groups of people to start to gather. I wonder if God's doing something in and through that and calling us right back to the heart of something that is his heart of that's not about just being a people that gather, but actually being a people that gather in order to be scattered and reach our friends, and not feeling we have to add in a stack load of programs and serve loads of stuff the church tells us to do in order to make us feel like we're doing good before God. But we actually live with the reality of who he is in and through us, being devoted to him and giving out of that to our work colleagues, our neighbours, those people that have just moved in the street across from you. You know, we have some friends from church around for a barbecue and we invite them across as well. And suddenly we start to see this intricate web of relationships that God is forming. And because you said it earlier on, God's already doing stuff. It's whether we want to partner with him and see that happen or not is where we're at as a church.
Yeah, and I think that's really exciting for us in that we get to participate with God in mission. And you know, the idea of, you know, this bless, the word bless that we're unpacking is really crucial, because I don't know about you, but I've you know, we use the word transform, you know, we often transform communities. I have trouble transforming myself, let alone any community or anybody else, but the idea of blessing and coming and being a blessing to our neighborhoods, to our neighbors, that's almost seems manageable, but also it's biblical language, isn't it, of God's commission for us as his people to join with that sense of blessing. I think this is really it's going to be a really exciting journey. I think it's going to be a little bit messy, but you know, I think, John, from the, you know, just the stuff that you were talking about there, there is really no other option, I think, unless we pursue authentic community and participate with God and one another in mission. It's the out, you know, the next week will be the outward focus. What does that look like for us? Those three things working together dynamically, I think that kind of, my feeling is that that will create a holy curiosity in people who God is calling, because they'll see something radically distinct about our community. So I don't know whether you've got anything else you want to chip in before we
just
hand over to Ben and Vicky.
We're going to hand over to Ben and Vicky in a moment to close the song, but very quickly just to say that on the 28th of July, that's this month, we're actually going to bless in, and we're going to join with the whole of our Elim family. We're part of an Elim movement in the UK and overseas that Ian is responsible for, but we're going to partner with our Elim churches in the UK for a joint service that is a festival that Elim put on every summer. That obviously can't happen this summer. So on the 28th of July, we're going to flip things around a bit. Normally we'd have a post-service catch-up. We're going to have a pre-service catch-up. So at 10:30, you can come onto Zoom. We'll send the link out, and you can come onto Zoom and have brunch together. We'll just have a little bit of mayhem, have a little bit of fun for half an hour, and then we're all going to go on to a live stream of a service that is going to be happening for the Elim churches that's part of Elim Festival at 11 o'clock. So we're going to do that on the 28th, and we're going to just, how about blessing each other and just being with other Elim churches around the country. But I want to encourage you this week, why don't we, if you're part of a Connect group or not, however you feel you're able to do that in this season that you're in, why don't we just look to see how we can start to bless each other, the community of OCC. Start to love each other, because it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance, and it's the kindness we have towards each other that causes us to get closer to Jesus. And the world sees that, and it has an impact, and we'll explore more of that next week. So Ben, Vicky, do you want to lead us in a song? That'd be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. You never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. You never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, never stop working. Never stop, yeah. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Now may our Lord, may our God and Father himself of our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you, and may the Lord cause you to increase and overflow with love for one another and for everyone, just as we do for you. May he make your hearts blameless in holiness before God, our God and Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Amen. So may you, OCC, go in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit this week. May you know his abiding love and care and attention in all of your circumstances and situations. And may we love one another just as Christ has loved us and called us to participate in community. May we embrace the frustrations and the tensions. May we embrace one another, even if we can't meet physically, but in the sense of community and journeying one with another, may we know his power and his blessing and his provision, so that we may demonstrate to a watching world what it looks like to be disciples of Jesus, to be found in his love and to be ambassadors of his kingdom to a watching world. Thank you so much for being with us. May you have a great week. God bless.